Church, are we excited to be worshiping the risen King this morning, to be giving all glory to Jesus? Come on, we're going to sing this song out together. We're singing.
Saturday was silent, surely it was through. But since when has impossible ever stopped you? Friday's disappointment is Sunday's empty tomb. But since when has impossible ever stopped you?
Come on, can we sing this together?
This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise make a dead man walk again. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling.
An all-consuming fire is stirring something new.
sing this with all the conviction in our hearts. We know our God, He's able to save. My God is able to save and deliver and heal and restore anything that He wants to. Just ask the man who was thrown on the bones of Elijah if there's anything that he can't do. Just ask the stone that was rolled at the tomb.
Our voices together as we sing out this familiar song.
Sing this together. Man, oh man, wrath of God.
my salvation. Will your love pour out over me? Now my soul cries out, alleluia, praise and honor on to
Cross City, everyone. We are glad that you made the journey, the trek, to be here with us live. I know there's a lot of you that are watching online. There's hundreds of you that are watching in the student center right now with our overflow. So all joking aside, there's a story in the Bible about how some friends wanted them to get to hear Jesus, and they billowed a hole in the roof. If you've got one spot next to you, I hope that you would make it available. Wave your hand right now. Put your hand in the air. So ushers, if you would, host team, I want you to see where these hands are. I really feel like we could get maybe 40, 50 more people in this room. All of our venues are full. And God is good. Amen. Amen. So What I'm going to ask you to do is to just please, when you see people walking down the aisles, if you would, just wave them on in. COVID's not a thing anymore, so you're not going to get, but if there is, we're all doomed after this service right here. Hey, if we haven't met, I'm Brent. I'm one of the pastors here. On behalf of Pastor David and everyone else, welcome to Cross City. We're glad that you're here. And all joking aside, for all of you that are in the Student Center, thank you for helping us celebrate the fact that Jesus is alive and it changes everything. Can I hear an amen to that, everyone? In just a moment, we're going to be receiving communion. If you did not receive your prepackaged communion cups on the way in, our host team's going to be making their way down the aisles at this time. You can wave at them. You can also point at them and say there's an open spot, and we're going to make sure that we get someone seated there as well. If you're watching online, we hope that you'll join with us as well. I know you're watching from all over the world, all over even the Central Valley, and we'd love for you to participate in this. If it's not too much to ask, though, for those of you that maybe have little ones with you, the very place, best place for them is going to be in a kids ministry. It's almost mean of you not to have them there, actually. It is such a great thing that they're doing out there. And so our hope would be, I'm actually literally like looking at all the announcements coming in. This is crazy. So, but God is good, and he did a miracle 2,000 years ago, and we're praying that he does a miracle in our parking lots when you guys leave here as well. So, hey, with that being said, we're going to transition now into a time of communion. If you haven't already, we're going to ask that you would take your cell phones and set those to silent so we could really focus in on the message when our pastor, Senior Pastor David, makes his way on out here in just a moment so we can be focused in on that. Let's pray, everyone. Lord Jesus, we're thankful for all of your promises in the Word, the Bible, which is truth, so that we'd believe. But we know that nowhere in the Word does it say that we need to be afraid, where we need to be stressed out, where we need to be worried. But actually the opposite. 365 times you tell us, do not be afraid and to trust. And so, Lord, right now, not knowing where everyone's coming from, what they are dealing with, would we just have faith arise in this place, Lord God? As we look at the view from an empty tomb, would we be reminded that Jesus, you're still in the miracle working business and that you can change lives? Jesus, we're thankful for the fact that 2,000 years ago you shared a final meal with your closest friends. And for those of us that are in Christ, you now call us family. And so when we eat the bread, we're reminded of your perfect life, Jesus. And when we drink the cup, we're reminded of what you did on that wonderful but terrible day when you died on the cross and you paid for the sins of the world. And so when we eat the bread and drink the cup, we do so in remembrance of you, but also out of obedience for you, because we know that obedience leads to blessing. We love you, Jesus, but only because you loved us first. And it's in your powerful name that all your children prayed. Amen and amen.
If you could stand, we're going to continue to worship.
the life you gave. Your body was broken, your love poured out. You bled and you died for me there on the cross. You breathed your last as you were crucified. You gave it all for me. Hallelujah, you were the Savior. Hallelujah, you were the friend. Hallelujah, King forever. We thank you for the cross.
Can be seated.
For most of us, Easter is a joyous time to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But planning for Easter can really be a challenge for younger staff members who are becoming like their pastor.
And Lord, I just want to thank you for this team and hearts to serve you and our church, God. And I just want to thank you for this opportunity.
Okay, can anyone tell me what Jake did wrong?
He was singing an old hymn?
No.
He didn't ask us to sing with him.
No.
He was out of key.
Well, yes, but that's not the answer I was looking for. He was singing out loud.
Yeah, we got a lot of really fun things planned for the kids for Easter. They are going to love it.
Timmy?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
Well, I was telling Carol about Easter.
This is an office and not a golf course. It can be tough.
I want that one. Oh, wow. What a find.
Zach, how old are you? Who else wears a suit like that?
My dad.
But with each challenge comes an opportunity for growth.
Prescott, rolling, no, no, rolling. No, Cowboys, let's go!
Remember, Scott, not everybody loves the Cowboys. After all, they haven't won a Super Bowl in nearly three decades.
He washed it white as snow. I just want to thank you all for planning this, and we're going to have a great, great Easter.
Cross City can't stop you from becoming your senior pastor, but we can direct you to the risen King.
Sorry, I'm late.
Oh, man. I love this necklace.
Thanks.
Thank you all for being here. We're going to talk today about a tomb with a view. Now, you might not have heard, but Larry LaPrise passed away recently at the age of 83. Most notably, Larry LaPrise wrote the Hokey Pokey song. Interestingly, when the family tried to place his body in the coffin, they put his right leg in. Of course, this is a joke. There were no reported problems of Larry LaPrise burial. However, 2,000 years ago, those who attempted to bury Jesus, they had a big surprise. You know, there's a lot of bad news today. Politics, riots, looting, murders, terrible weather. You know, the difference between today, when many of us were growing up, we only got bad news once a day. Remember that? The evening news or the newspaper. Today we get bad news 24/7. There's so much bad news everywhere. I heard a story about a guy who came home from work one day and his wife looked like she had a terrible day. And the husband looked at her and said, "I know you have some bad news. I can see it on your face, but I've had a terrible day. Whatever you do, do not give me bad news." So she thought for a moment and she said, "Well, okay, you have three children and today two of your children didn't fall out of a tree and break their arm." So we're always trying to find good news in the midst of bad news. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that's what the gospel means. The gospel means good news. So I want all of you to give me an Easter greeting. I want you to repeat this to me. So he is risen indeed. Will you say that out loud?
He is risen.
Thank you very much. Would you mind standing with me as I read 18 verses. Some of you might pass out. John 20:1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene, not Jesus' mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, went to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. And we know who that was John, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. But Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separated from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed, and they still did not understand that Jesus was really rising from the dead. They didn't understand that. Then the disciples went back where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They ask her, "Woman," the angels ask her, "why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, this Jesus asked Mary Magdalene, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Let's pray quickly. Father, you may just give us in our mind's eye today the picture of what it must have been like on that first Easter morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, years ago, I saw a cartoon in a Christian magazine once. The setting of the tomb was Jesus with the stone still over the opening. And there were two demons sitting on the top of the tomb. And one of the demons said to the other, "I sure hope Jesus doesn't come out of that tomb. Because if he does, hell help us, all heaven will break loose." And thank God that is exactly what has happened today. He's alive. He is alive, and all of heaven has broken loose. And sometimes when we travel, we ask for a room with a view. I want a room with a view. But nobody ever asked for a tomb with a view. Because tombs are sealed up and they're private. But this was a tomb with a view, not for Jesus to look out, but for us to look in. And the angel rolled the stone away, not so that Jesus could escape. That's very important. He was already alive. The stone was rolled away so you and I could look in, and the whole world could look in and see the tomb that is empty. So Ann and I just went to Jerusalem and we took a picture in the empty tomb. Isn't that amazing? So what happened that Easter morning? There was a lot of running. Have you thought about that? I mean, Mary and the women arrived before daylight. It was still dark. And Mark tells us that Mary's biggest concern, who's going to roll the stone away? Because they wanted to deliver more spices. They wanted to put more spices on the corpse of Jesus. And they got there, and the stone is rolled away. And they look in, and it's empty. And she goes running back to where the disciples were. And now I just want you to imagine probably the streets. They were probably deserted that early. And you just hear the pitty-patter of her sandals pounding on those stone streets. And she ran back, and we believe they were in the upper room, and the place where he was buried and the place where the upper room was, it was basically over a mile. It was in old Jerusalem. And here she is huffing and puffing and running over a mile, and she's saying, he is not there. There's no one in the tomb. And this time she thought somebody had stolen the body of Jesus. So John and Peter started running back. Now, I don't know why John adds these details. He said, we both started running, but I outran Peter. I got there first. And that's probably a natural thing because tradition tells us that Peter was one of the oldest disciples and John was one of the youngest disciples. Peter didn't stop running even though he got outran by John. It would be like me and my son, Zach, running a 100-yard dash. Guess who would win that 100-yard dash? Zach would win that 100-yard dash. But I wouldn't stop running. I would go ahead and cross that finish line. And John and Peter get there and they see something strange. It's very, very, very crazy. They didn't really know that Jesus was alive. They're still thinking somebody has stolen his body. So I want to play a little Jerusalem CSI, and I want to look at some evidence today. Peter and John, their view of the tomb, they saw the evidence of a miracle. The disciples' view, they saw evidence of a miracle. When they got there, they were not thinking, praise God, he is risen. He is risen indeed. No, they're thinking, what's going on? Why would somebody steal the body of Jesus? And John stops and he looks in, and Peter runs, huffing and puffing. He doesn't hesitate. He goes right into the tomb, and then John follows him. And what they saw, they had to scratch their heads. They saw the grave clothes lying there. And then they saw the napkin for his head. And I want to look at two pieces of evidence. The first evidence was the stone. There was no barrier that could hold him back. The stone, no barrier could hold him. I always find it interesting that the disciples of Jesus, they're basically hiding in the upper room. They're scared. They think something's going to happen to them. They think they're going to die. And they totally forgot about the resurrection, even though Jesus had predicted it many, many times. But you know who had not forgotten about the resurrection? The enemies of Jesus, the Jewish leaders. They went to Pilate after the burial and they said, hey, this imposter, after 3 days, he claimed he was going to come back from the dead. So we need your help to make the tomb secure. So Pilate said, what do you need? They said, we need soldiers. And we want you to put your seal on it. So that's what they did. They used all the physical barriers. The stone was used at probably several tons. You can still find today in the Holy Land tombs carved out of limestone, round stones across the opening. They tried to seal it physically with this huge stone. Administratively by putting a government seal on it. Now, what was that? They melted wax on the stone and they took the seal of Pontius Pilate and stamped it into the wax. And what they meant was all the authority of the Roman government says if anyone breaks the seal without Pilate's permission, you will be executed immediately. Not only was it a physical barrier, not only was it a governmental barrier, it was also a military barrier. Pilate said, here we have all the Roman soldiers you want. They're all guarding the tomb. Probably 4 soldiers and they alternated 8-hour shifts. But what we discover is that there's no barrier that could hold Jesus back. Because the Bible says that God sent angels. Matthew 28, there was only one single angel that removed the stone. You got to know that angels are powerful creatures. They are warrior angels. So I can just picture in my mind's eye the angel coming down and just picking up that stone and just throwing it like a frisbee. Just threw it away. So everybody had a view of the tomb. What does the Bible say that happened to those Roman soldiers? They were so frightened, the Bible says they were catatonic. And so, folks, we learn from that that there's even barriers in the world today from the good news of Jesus getting out. There is no barrier that can withstand the power of our mighty God. That's evidence number one. Evidence number two, the grave clothes. The grave clothes. And you got to understand this. No decay would touch him, would touch Jesus. Maybe you've never thought about that. But no decay would touch the body of Jesus. Jews did not embalm bodies. They just took spices and wrapped around it to cover the odor of decay. We learn that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they took 75 pounds of spices and wrapped the body of Jesus. They took myrrh and aloe, combined it into a gel-like substance. They put on the bandages, they put the strips of linen cloth, and they wrapped Jesus just like a mummy of all those spices. And Mary and the other women, they were coming to add even more spices. And then they took another cloth of the head. This was done to tie the chin up so the chin would not sag in death. That's how they left Jesus. But when Peter and John arrived, they found a scene. They found not a scene of disorder. They saw the grave clothes just lying there. And they saw that head cloth just lying there. And it was all folded up. It was a scene of order. Now let's depart from that and let's just think about our own human bodies. My body, your body, we all have a body. Is the phone ringing? It's a crowning touch of God's creation. On all the days of creation, the last thing that God created was a man and a woman. And he said, it is very, very good. And the Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. So right now, you are a soul, you are a spirit, and you're living within a body. And the Bible teaches that your body is going to get old. It's going to wear out. It's going to break down. And eventually, it's going to die. There are thousands of organic processes that are keeping your body functioning. But at death, all those processes stop. Maybe your hair grows a little bit. Maybe your fingernails grow a little bit. But everything else is stopped. Immediately, your body starts to cool. Within 2 to 6 hours, rigor mortis sets in and decay begins almost immediately. That's why the Muslims and the Orthodox Jews to this day do not embalm. It's against their beliefs. So they have to have a funeral within 24 hours. They have to do that. The human body, if it's not refrigerated, if it's not embalmed, if it's not cremated, decay will set in immediately. So we need to ask the question, did Jesus die? Yes, he was really dead. The spear pierced his side, blood and water came out. He was placed in a tomb. But the Bible teaches us, although he tasted death, he never went through the process of decaying. And maybe you've never thought about that. And you're saying, Pastor, how could you say that? Because I can say that with authority because of the Word of God. The Scripture tells us he didn't suffer any decompensation. In the book of Acts, the apostles preached the resurrection of Jesus, and they quoted the Old Testament. Paul preached Acts 13:35-37, he quotes, "You will not let your Holy One see decay." That comes from Psalm 16:10. Now, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. So every dead body before and after Jesus experiences decay and decomposition. And the unique thing about Jesus is that no decay touched his body. Now, John and Peter saw this evidence. And John really believed something. He believed something strange was going on. He didn't quite figure that Jesus was resurrected. But he believed there was some kind of miracle going on. And he said, "He is not here. He is not here." And so the second point I want to make is Mary's view. She encountered the Master. She encountered the Master. And here's a beautiful painting of the Russian artist Alexander Ivanov. Just appears to Mary Magdalene. It's a beautiful painting. And here's a beautiful, beautiful picture. But Peter and John left. And Mary lingered there at the scene. And she looks in there and she sees two angels. And the angel asks her, "Why are you crying?" And she said, "Because they took the body of my Lord. I don't know where they put him." And she turns around and she sees the man, and her eyes are full of tears. Her heart is full of pain. She doesn't recognize him. She thinks it's the gardener. Now that makes sense, because the Bible says the tomb was in a garden. And today when we go to Jerusalem, there's a garden tomb. It might be the very tomb. I don't really think so, but it is an empty tomb. And good news, he ain't in there. But she was in this garden, and she sees this character, and she says the same thing to him. "I don't know where his body is." And Jesus speaks to her and says, "Mary." And there was something about the way he spoke to her. Her eyes were open, her heart was open, and she knew this is Jesus. And Jesus asked her two questions, and he's still asking all of us these still same questions. "What's going on over there?" He's asking this question, "Why are you crying?" And the angels ask, that's the same thing. They just ask it out of curiosity. I mean, they're looking at this earth creature. She's weeping and crying. And Jesus asked the question out of compassion. He knew the answer, but he wanted her to say, "From the cradle to the grave, our existence is one long trail of tears." I mean, we cry as babies. We cry at every age. We cry when we're old. According to the Academy of Ophthalmology, an average person will cry 15 to 20 gallons a year. That's a lot. The psalmist says in Psalm 56, "Lord, you keep track of all my sorrows. You collect all my tears in your bottle." The followers of Jesus, they're not immune to sorrow. Jesus was acquainted with sorrow and grief, but we don't express sorrow to those who have no hope. In Psalm 35, the Bible says, "Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning." C.S. Lewis said, "God whispers to us in our pleasures, but he shouts to us in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world." So they ask her the question, "Why are you crying?" And the second question Jesus asked, "Whom are you seeking?" And here I see the deep love that Mary had for her Lord. She didn't know this was Jesus. He said, "Who are you looking for? Who are you seeking?" And she says, they've taken the body of my Lord away. I don't know where they put him. If you just tell me where his body is, I will carry him back. Now think about this. Little Mary, she's probably 110 pounds. And Jesus was probably 190 pounds. And they put 75 pounds of spices on him. And imagine this little woman going and find this 250-pound corpse, throwing him over her shoulder and carrying it back where he should be. And that's the love she had for Jesus. She was willing to do what we consider to be almost impossible. Her hope was shattered. Her faith was absent. So the only thing she had left was her love. And the Bible says three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And Jesus called her name. And when he called her name, she truly realized who he was. And the beautiful thing about the Bible, God says he knows you individually. He cares for you individually. He knows your name. The Bible says you are engraved on the palm of his hands. Isaiah 43 says, but now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. And this is what God is saying to you today. Who are you seeking? Who are you looking for? What purpose in life are you trying to find? And this is the part sometimes we miss. Here's Mary at the feet of Jesus, probably hanging on. And he says, don't cling to me. Because some people think he was in the post-resurrection shape. A person to serve as the first witness to the resurrection was a woman named Mary from Magdal. He doesn't want to be touched. But that's not true. Because later that night in the upper room, he meets all of his disciples and he says, I want to be touched. Does a ghost have flesh and bones? I don't know. Here's what he meant when he said, don't cling to me. He was telling to Mary, I don't want you just here worshiping me, because I have a job for you to do. I want you to go back and tell the disciples that I am alive, that I'm eventually going to ascend into heaven, and you are my first witness for the resurrection. That is amazing. Think about it. The role and the place of all the women in our culture and all the other cultures. They're still debating about it. It's amazing to think that only 100 years ago that women in America got the right to vote. But we will never change the fact that the first witness to the resurrection commissioned by Jesus Christ was a woman. And not just a woman, but Mary Magdalene said that she had seven demons in her body, and Jesus cast every one of those demons out. And so Mary, she was the first one to carry the Easter news. I have seen the Lord. And friend, it's the same message for us today. When we go out into the world and the world doesn't understand where they can find hope and say we can find hope in Jesus Christ because I have seen the Lord. And here's the last thing to take away truth. Sorrow is transformed to hope when you meet the risen Savior. When you meet Jesus, you know for certain that he is alive. So how do you know? Not by examining the evidence of the empty tomb, a body disappeared, no corpse delicti, the grave closed. You don't believe all that evidence. You believe when you meet the Lord personally. Because the evidence can change your mind. And when you have an encounter with Jesus, it will change your heart. And that's the message for the world today. When things are going bad, when we don't know where to turn, when we don't know where to look, we say, you know what? We have a message for this world. In all the midst of tears and bad news, the news is because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. We have an edge that the world doesn't have. During the last days of World War II, a secret message got through to some American prisoners in German concentration camp, and the Allies had won the war, and the prisoners knew it. But their German guards hadn't gotten the word yet. It wasn't until 3 days later the German guards deserted the Allies and came and rescued them. But for those 3 days, the attitude of the prisoners was totally different. Their attitude changed from despair to hope. And friends, we're like those prisoners. We're facing hardship. We're facing suffering. And they knew they had won. And they knew they would soon be delivered. Still there was pain, still there was punishment. They still lived under the thumbs of the Germans. But their attitude changed because we know we have won. And brothers and sisters, there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of bad news. But you and I, we have a different attitude because we know that Jesus has won. And we know that one day, we'll be delivered. We know that the resurrection of Jesus Christ has won the war over death and over the grave. The tomb with a view, and because of that, we can see the view of the future. That's for all of us. And friend, I just want, we do this every Easter. I want to challenge you. I'm not trying to manipulate you. I want to challenge you to repent and be baptized today. When Peter preached at Pentecost, every one of you, he said, every one of you needs to repent and be baptized. Every single one of you. I heard somebody explain it this way. There was 1,000 steps separating us from God, and Jesus took 999 of those steps, but he wants you to take the last one. He wants you to take the last step. When Peter preached, there was probably 100,000 people there, and 3,000 people came forward and repented and were baptized, and they didn't count the women and the children. Would you be willing to do this today? I know some of you are probably thinking, Pastor David, I can't do this today. I'm all dressed up for Easter. I've made no plans to get wet. I've made no plans to get dunked. We're going to have a party after Easter. We're going to go to lunch. We're going to have a great time. You got to remember, when Peter preached, it was a holiday. It was Pentecost. No one was planning on getting baptized that day. This is a holiday. And I think there's no better time to get baptized into Jesus Christ while we are celebrating the resurrection. There is no better time. They didn't say, oh, that's kind of interesting. I think I'll wait and take a class on that. Or I'll do it when I really feel like it, just sometime later. Or I'll wait till the holiday is over. No, they said, I'm going to do it today. If you're born once, you're going to die twice. If you're born twice, you're only going to die once. And I know most of you have not planned on doing this today, but this is the greatest time to say yes to Jesus. To boldly say, Jesus, you came out of that grave for me. You did that for me. You are alive and it changes everything. I could use a change in my life. I need a remodel in my life. There's no better time than right now to spontaneously celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're going to be baptizing people. We baptized 25 people last night. We're going to be baptizing people out by the frat house. It's heated, it's warm, it's clean, it's chlorinated. And some of you are thinking, well, I didn't bring any towels. We have thousands and thousands of towels. I had 6 towels yesterday. We've got undergarments. We've got shorts in all sizes. And you also get to wear a shirt, and you get to keep the shirt. We've got everything you need. Where would I change? We've got nice private changing rooms. But what about my stuff? I got my phone, my wallet, my purse. I got to tell you, we've got the best security team in the entire valley. Some of them are undercover. And some of them have guns. Your stuff is going to be safe. I know some of you are like, well, I'd love for my friends to be here. I'd love for my family to be here. I would love for all of them to be here. Listen, this isn't their decision. It's your decision. If you're willing to be baptized, we're going to take a photo. We're going to take a video, and you can share it with all your friends and family. And some of you may think, well, David, I'm not sure. You might drop me. I want to go on record. I've been baptizing since I was 17 years of age. I've never lost a one. Every person I've baptized, I've resurrected them 100%. Now, some folks I hold under a little longer, but I bring them right back up. Friend, if you believe in Jesus and you want to follow him, this is what you need to identify with: his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That's the holiday. That was like Pentecost. If God is speaking to you today, you need to make your way down here. We have a team of folks that will help you with everything, every single step. If you truly believe in Jesus Christ, that he was raised from the dead, you need to put your faith in him, not me, not the church, in him, in Jesus Christ. If you haven't been baptized, you need to be baptized today. Mark 16:16 tells us, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. Friend, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a party in heaven. There's going to be a party at Cross City. We're going to stand, we're going to sing, and I'm going to ask you to walk down here, maybe your whole family, maybe a brother and a sister. Last night we baptized sisters and brothers and wives and husbands. Maybe you could take the hand of your wife. Maybe they're cousins, maybe a boyfriend, a girlfriend. I think God is speaking to you today, and you know, if you do this, your world is going to change. If you never take a risk, you're never going to experience something amazing. So, friend, are you ready? Get ready. The old is gone. Here's your moment. Would you stand and say, the Lord is speaking to me. I'm going to make a bold decision for Jesus Christ. Let's stand and sing.